Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Claudia Monticelli with another episode of Multiple Voices. My Multiple Voices podcast, true to its name, includes different series. For example, we have the Voices of Love, where we discuss relationships, the voice of empowerment, the voice of laughter and play, the voice of pleasure, and the magical voice of archetypes and how they change the way we live. But we also have the voice of memory that includes everything from history to discussions of past life regression. There's also writing voices, where we interview both seasoned writers and authors who have just started getting their feet wet with writing, and we learn what can work for you as potential writers. Our series called Voice of the Spirit discusses different forms of spirituality and religion. And then Channeling Voices is a series that covers what happens when you channel, but is also extended to mediumship. Take a moment to review this podcast if you've enjoyed listening, and leave a hearty 5 stars. I'd appreciate it. Enjoy your listening. Ladies and gentlemen, this is another episode of our podcast, and I have with me Emily McGill. Emily, say hello so people hear
hello.
Your voice.
Hello. Hello, Claudia.
Emily's here. She's located in New York City. And Emily, she's a woman after my own heart. She is today a tarot reader. She's a tarot reader and communications consultant. After nearly a decade and a half of working in entertainment in New York City as a storytelling strategist, which is interesting just that alone, and Broadway publicist, her path of self-exploration led to healing and evolution. So that's a long, it's not a long winding road, is it? Isn't that, Emily, something that's ongoing all the time?
Yeah.
So it continues.
But, you know, it was after I was pretty well established in my career that I started on that road, right? Mm. So I didn't start on that road until I had gotten to a certain point.
Where you couldn't take your job anymore.
Well,
let's tell the truth here.
But what actually sent me to therapy was that my grandmother passed away.
That will do it.
She was a very complicated woman. But
in a what way complicated? She must have been important for you.
Yes, she was. Mm-hmm. But she had a lot of trauma. There was a lot of generational trauma that had been passed down to her and then continued on. So, you know, I feel like I'm the embodiment in my family of when it runs in in my family until it ran into me kind of thing.
Yeah. Did she influence your move toward divination using the tarot?
She did, but she would never have known that when she was here.
Okay,
So I was raised in a very Roman Catholic family and household.
Okay, wait a minute. Wait, before you go on, let me say a couple of things here. She started her exploration. We talked about healing and evolution, and at the same time, reading tarot cards professionally alongside her work. Communications work, but she likes to unlock. So you do work with magic because you like to unlock the magic in people and others. Let's go back now. So we have the tarot springing up after your grandmother's. What's her first name?
Jean.
After Jean's death, in some way.
But we called her Nonni, so you can call her Nonni.
Okay, Nonni. Mm-hmm. In Italy, it's Nonna.
Nonna. So it's yes, of course. Nonni. It was inspired by our Italian ancestry.
Oh, so you do have Italian ancestry? Yeah?
Yes.
On both sides, maternal and paternal?
On my maternal side, my Nonni's, so she's my maternal grandmother, her grandparents came directly from Italy. To the U.S.
So you're fourth generation.
That is the most sort of direct path that we have for our family to Italy. But my great grandmother, her family was from Lithuania, and she came to the U.S. as a young woman. met my great grandfather, who was the first generation mm-hmm. born in America of Italian descent. And so Italian cooking was what was passed down through
Thank
that
God.
Family, which is so so wonderful. I'm so grateful for my Italian yeah. roots.
Yeah. So now we're on food. We're getting to Tyro.
Hey. Yes.
Makes the world go round. Makes the world go round. All right. So what actually drew you to the tarot? To tarot reading? The tarot as a deck. I mean, what brought you to get that deck in your hands?
Yeah, it was my therapist.
Okay, why did she suggest it?
She would have us every now and again during a session, she would bring the cards out to help find some clarity if I had a question on something.
Give us an example.
Really, because
there are a lot of people in my audience who dabble in tarot reading. Some do it professionally, some play. So how did it work in a context of therapy?
Yeah, if perhaps I was struggling with a decision about, what I wanted to do with the next thing in my career, or if I wanted to move forward in a relationship, whether that was romantic or platonic or a business relationship, and we would talk through it. And if I felt like I was still at an impasse after we spoke about, sort of dissecting the question, she would grab a deck of tarot cards off of her shelf and say, all right, you know what, let's pull a card.
Okay.
And so it would help me get some clarity around.
So let's start. Let's go down that path. So you pulled a card and what would come out? Just an example.
Well, I don't remember because we did it pretty often.
Okay.
She would pull a card out. She started me with the Osho Zen tarot deck, which is a very specific deck created by Osho, who, of course, was a wonderful guru in India. Mm-hmm. Although there's, been some challenges across relations with some folks, but it's a really wonderful, wonderful deck. And it, in the sense of, I think, like the Thoth deck, it has a different words that come along.
Yeah, there's so many in the world. There's so many. Every culture has numerous.
Exactly.
Right. So, was it a hop, skip, and a jump to professional reading, or let's go through the emotions? And you were still in New York at that time.
Yes, I'm still in New York right now. I'm right at this moment. I'm a block and a half from Times Square chatting with you.
There you go. I'm very close to the Coliseum. So we're in the center of the city.
I love it. Yeah. So, we were talking one day in my therapy session and I said, I want to start a daily practice.
Yes.
I don't have something that I do every single day just for me. Something small. I didn't want it to be elaborate.
Yeah.
I wanted something super simple that I could just start inviting daily practices in. She said, why don't you pull a tarot card? And I said, because I don't have any decks. And she said, oh, well, there's this app on your phone you could download if you want to try that.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, I would love
She's
to try
kidding.
That.
Kidding. Yeah.
So I got the Osho Zen Tarot Deck app on my phone, which I still have and use from time to time. And I started setting it up so it would remind me to pull a card every day. And I can't handle the little red bubbles.
What do you mean?
When you get the little red bubbles that pop up on your phone to tell you there's a notification. I can't handle them.
So you have to get rid of them.
So I need to get rid of them.
Okay.
So every day it was really easy to remember to pull my card.
Did you pull it with a question or did you just pull it?
Just a general pull, just like sort of maybe what is my day in store? Like, I kind of use it as a what's in store for this day or what's something I should keep in mind or what's a lesson or is it something that I need
to. Okay, so this is a good practice to start learning actually.
Yeah, it was
and
perfect.
And the app, even though apps are very, close-minded because they don't allow you to use, they give you, the hanged man. The hanged man means this, but they don't give you enough leeway to put the hanged man against, the sun or stuff like
that.
Yes, so
correct.
It's a good way to start learning.
Well, and the thing is the Osho deck, part of the beauty of that deck is that the language that accompanies the cards is incredibly specific.
Give us an example.
Incredibly specific. So for example, this, okay, I just happened to flip this guidebook open.
Right.
They call it the Queen of Water, right? So this is right, our Queen of Cups.
So it's the Queen of, mm-hmm.
But the card is called Receptivity. It's not called the Queen of Cups.
Okay.
And it talks about receptivity represents the feminine, receptive quality of water and of the emotions. Her arms are extended upwards to receive. She's completely immersed in the water. And he goes on and on with this language. And it's just, the voice is so specific.
Well, the Queen of Cups is a good woman. Just like the King of Cups is a good man. Good man. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Or human, so, right? Like,
well, yeah.
But with this card, but even across them, like I would find often if I was doing a larger spread, where there were perhaps seven, you know, one of my favorites is one that I learned from this book called The Flying Bird. And you start with the here and now, right? And then we move on to what we're fearing.
What does it look like on a table, this spread?
It looks like a V. It looks like a flying yes. And you start with the one in the middle.
Right.
And then you go to the one next, right? And
right, and left, and right, up left,
until
upwards.
We get
words.
Okay. Left and right. I'm sorry, I gave you the
like
wrong
a chevron.
Hand there.
Yeah.
Yes, kind of. Mm-hmm. And but it leads us to a new level of awareness.
Okay.
Right. So it's like kind of
how
like a
cards?
Ladder.
How many cards?
Seven.
Okay.
So we start with the first card, which is the here and now. And then we move into what you're fearing and then your response to that fear or your ability to respond to that fear. And then it gets into what your instincts are saying to you, what your external supports are. And then finally, you get to your relaxation and acceptance, and then arriving at a new level of awareness.
Okay.
And it's a really lovely spread. And I would find that when I used the Osho deck and would read the description of the cards as I was starting to learn them, especially once I got the first physical deck that I received, which happened to be the Osho deck.
Yeah.
That was, you know, pure, I mean, coincidence isn't really a thing,
it helped.
Right? But.
So you have this deck, you had, like we're talking the past and it just started. What made you, I'm sure you got other decks as well. After a while, you just started, you know, collecting. And when you say you read tarot professionally, what does that mean for you?
To me, that means that people are willing to pay me to do it.
Okay. So when you were not doing it professionally, who did you read to? For?
Mostly my friends, you know, myself and my friends. And now I also have, you know, a weekly Instagram live show. Oh, there goes my light.
Good.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
With my best,
we can still see
with my
you.
Excellent. My best friend and I do an Instagram live show every week where we read tarot. We do a once a month in a community that she hosts.
Well, give me the handle in Instagram.
Yes.
What is it?
It's at Emily Ann, A-N-N-E, M-C-G.
So that's Emily Ann, A-N-N-E, M-C-G. Okay.
Correct.
Now, this is
that's
you
me.
And her, or?
Yes. And my best friend's name is Jen Letterer, and hers is at Jen.
Okay. Well, this is both
Letterer.
Of you. I
you can will, find it through
you know,
me.
Follow you and I'll get, I'll find you when you go live.
Excellent.
Good.
But every Friday we go live and, you know, it's a cannabis friendly show. It's called Pause for the Cause. And we talk about cannabis
when you
reform
say,
in America.
When you say a cannabis friendly, what does that mean for people from the other countries in the world?
That means we smoke cannabis during our show and we celebrate cannabis. We see it as medicine that helps us in our lives.
Okay.
And so.
And it is legal in New York.
It is legal in New Jersey.
I know now.
Yes. We're getting closer to federal legalization in America, hopefully every day.
Yeah. So now we're in Instagram and you start. How many people typically come to see you or chime in when you're live?
It really depends on the day, you know, what's happening in people's
on
lives.
On Friday, you said? What time usually on
we
Friday?
We start at 4:20 p.m. Eastern.
New York time?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Because 4:20 is historically a cannabis-friendly number as well. So that's our start time. That's when we go.
Okay.
We spend 30 to 40 minutes doing a tarot reading. Sometimes we'll play a game I love to play called 1, 2, 3, where we pull three cards. Yeah. And before you've seen what they are, you have to, you know,
try to
decide
guess
what your intuition is tapping into that day. And then we flip all three of them over and we talk about them. And if anybody is, you know, who's watching has a certain card, we always ask them to put it in there, you know, put it in the comments and to let us know as we're chatting. And and, you know, we like to hear from folks as they're watching so that we can share, you know, what their responses were and their experiences were with everybody.
So
too.
So I'm a client by word of mouth. I found out that a certain Emily and McGill is reading. I saw you on Instagram. She always goes live. So I got in touch with you. I DM you and I say, come on, I'd really like a reading. I like the way you work. So what would you do? We'd make an appointment. I would pay you some way. And you know, you have a website that we will write about.
Yes, absolutely.
Is that so EmilyMcGillEntertainment.com? Is that it?
No. It is indeed.
Okay.
That's it. Okay. That's me.
All right. And so
because it's then all about what entertains me.
Right. Of course. So we're online. And do you ask people for, I mean, how do you sell them by time packages?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I invite you to determine if you want to do a mini reading.
Oh, I lost your voice. I can't hear you.
Sorry, I think I tapped my computer.
Oh, okay, okay, go ahead. Okay, you were saying you decide whether
if you want a mini reading, which is like just one card, and we can do pretty quickly, or we can do a 30-minute reading or an hour-long reading, depending on you know what someone is interested in doing.
So let's say I get a 30 because it's the first time with you at 30 day. 30 hour. That's a long time. So I come in for this half hour and I know what I want to ask. Okay. I have on my mind, I come to you because I want to know if, I don't know, this course I have fashioned is going to be, you know, if people will, you know, if it will start. Because I have to have, say, a minimum of 10 people, and will it be successful? So, but I don't say that to you. What do you, how do you start your readings?
Well, I, when you sign up with me, there, you know, there's a process that my scheduling client does that will ask you as part of the sign up if there's anything specific that you want to explore during this reading to share it. Also, if you have any experience having tarot readings in the past, I always like to understand the level of knowledge and awareness so that we can either spend some time understanding the structure of the deck, you know, the between the major and minor arcanas, between how the minor arcana is set up, the meanings, all of those things, right?
Yeah.
The sort of basics so that when we start a reading, I'm not, it's, when I do a reading with someone, it's really participatory. It's, it's a communion between the two of us.
So I'm going to be in communion with you. And I come to you and I say, I'll be honest with you, Emily, I read professionally as well. But I, as a reader, I always go to other readers because you learn so much, you know. And and sometimes reading for yourself is, you know, you have blinders
on. You get
stuck
in the story.
Yeah, you get stuck in the story. But sometimes, you know, as you go on, it gets clearer. So I'm there with you. And when people come to me and they said, well, what do you just want to throw some cards? I don't say it, but I think to myself, well, it's your dime. You could ask me the questions. We'll go right to the root of the problem, or I can play around and I'll tell you what I see. You know, both are valid. But in this case, I have this question, right? And I say, you know, Emily, I've worked on a program, this course. It's about a 40-hour course. And it was very well accepted, but people have to sign up. And I have one more month before they can sign up. Will this course take off? So what? That's my question. What do you do first?
The first thing I would probably do is tell you that I can't predict the future and I'm not going to try.
Okay. Okay.
To me, the tarot is really more about giving me a visual representation, or giving you rather as the person who's experiencing the reading, it's giving you a visual representation of information that you hold within yourself.
Okay.
It's in your heart or in your gut, okay, maybe, but uh-huh, it hasn't quite made, okay, it up to your head yet.
So now, if you tell me that, I understand a little bit, but I'm being the devil's advocate here.
So sure, yeah, let's play that game.
And I'm not sure if I understand. So you're the professional. So I said, okay, mm-hmm, just pull the cards and tell me what it says to tell me. Okay. Is that a valid thing to say as a client?
You're welcome to say that as a client, but that's not how I do tarot readings.
Okay. So, you know, well, do it. So do it, tell me.
Yeah. Yes. So, as I said, I invite you to either come in with a question or, right, some people prefer to do a general reading. They uh-huh, prefer to let the card speak to,
right,
them and,
exactly,
say, this is what this, mm-hmm, is today.
Right.
For me, it's more about helping you channel the information,
okay,
that's already,
okay,
in you.
So
that's what I do with tarot,
okay,
cards. So I use the tarot cards and interpret what I know these meanings of these cards to be.
Yeah.
But then we talk through, is that actually relevant for you?
For
does
you.
That feel,
right,
like it,
does
resonates?
It have, resonates?
Does it feel like it,
yeah,
aligns for,
mm-hmm,
you?
Yeah.
Because sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Rarely does it not, right?
Right,
almost every time. Because the cards don't lie. We all know that,
yeah,
right?
So, but still, let's say, because that's my question. So it's a fairly, mm-hmm, specific question. And I,
yeah,
understand where you're coming from. And I understand what you just said to me. So where do we go from here? Do we pull cards or no?
So yeah, yeah. So are we, the next thing I would say is... okay, so you have this question about how your course is going to do.
Right.
Right. And I would ask you, you know, I would say for a 30-minute reading, we'll pull three cards.
Oh,
so
okay.
Is this a past, present, future reading? Is this what will help you? What will hinder you? And what is your untapped or your unrealized potential reading? And I will ask you to feel into which spread feels like it resonates more. Right. This,
okay,
is part of the communion, the participation.
Okay.
Right. I,
okay,
love, because I'm a theater kid at heart. Right.
Oh,
my
theater
background
person.
Is in theater.
Right. Yeah.
So it's all about the collaboration.
Yeah. Okay. But now, if it's past, present, and future, I would say to you, because I'm not getting it yet. I'm playing, mm-hmm, dumb, and
sure,
I say, well, all I really want to know if it's going to come about, because the past I know, I organized and I did it. The present, I'm sitting here waiting to see who signs up. And,
sure,
you know, the future is what I'm interested in. So, but you, mm-hmm, already told me you don't read the future. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. So what should I expect as a client? You know, put yourself in my shoes. What should I expect?
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Well, then I would say if past, present, future doesn't feel like it aligns for you, let's try what will help you, what will hinder you, and what's
good,
your untapped or your,
okay,
unrealized potential.
All right.
Right?
Let's
we
do
pick
that.
The other spread.
Okay.
And so we choose the other spread. And then we pull the card and we pull our first card. We see what it is that's going to help you to perhaps make this thing succeed that you want to succeed.
Oh, okay.
Right?
So,
because it's a matter of you doing the work and showing,
course,
up to,
okay,
make your course succeed.
All right. So now, is it also three cards, this one?
Yeah. Yeah. It's what will help you.
Okay.
What will hinder you. And so the second card we pull is like, what's going to help? What's going to stop you in your tracks? What's going to make it harder for you?
What will hinder me? And what's the third one?
What's your unrealized or your untapped potential?
Okay.
So,
do you feel
and that's
like,
something, mm-hmm, else that we can then explore. And so
okay,
it's like, these are talents that you have,
okay,
that you maybe haven't considered inviting into this process,
okay,
of trying to sell,
okay,
your course.
Well, can we have an example? Do you want to play and just do the that, you know, for me? Pull that out.
So you have that particular question today.
Yeah, I have that particular question. So, because I'm curious to see and having others listen to see how that would work.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I could ask you questions all night long. I don't have all night long, but all right.
Yeah,
so
she's mixing. I'm shuffling.
She's shuffling.
The deck here.
Shuffling. Yeah.
Yep. I shuffle like they're a deck of playing cards.
Yeah.
My grandmother taught me how to play blackjack when I was 5 years old. The second I could count to 21, we would play with pennies.
Uh-huh.
And she taught me to shuffle, including
dear.
The bridge. And like
uh-huh.
I was like 8 years old throwing cards all over the place because I couldn't, my hands were too small.
I'm not
but
a
it was good
shuffler.
Practice for
I'm
my
not
tarot
a good shuffler
practice.
Because especially tarot cards are are large,
they're
usually
huge.
And I just can't do that. Yeah, they're big. They're big cars.
They're huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the deck that I'm going to use today is a deck called the True Heart Intuitive Tarot.
Uh-huh.
And I love this deck because of it, of how intuitive it is.
Okay.
You can see the imagery and you can really, you get a sense of the card just by looking
at it. Right.
And that's my favorite kind of tarot because, to be honest, there's no wrong way to do tarot. Mm-hmm. There are certainly... can be flawed interpretations, right? But there's no wrong way to do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I love these because they're like very, very clearly...
they give you what you want.
Showing the personality of each card.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to give them one more shuffle and then I'm going to have cut the deck.
Oh, and I'm going to make believe I cut it, right?
And usually, and I'll show you in 1 second.
All right.
Usually what I do if somebody booked a reading with me is we would, take a deep breath together to set the couple of deep breaths to set the container. You know, we've kind of been setting the container this whole time in our conversation, but it would be something we close our eyes, take a couple of deep breaths, and then we get started in cutting the cards. So.
And you have the person touch your cards.
No, we do it this way.
Ah, okay.
You tell me when to stop.
Oh, now I get it. Now I like that. Stop. Good. Good for you.
I will have people, if I'm reading in person for you, I will have you cut the cards yourself.
Well, it depends. I think that's important. It depends. I tend not to have people touch my cards.
That's a totally personal decision, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know people that won't let other people touch their cards at all.
Mm-hmm.
I know people that will let people play with their cards and read for themselves with their own cards.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm not quite there. You know, I have a deck that I don't practice with that, that was more of like a research deck because I'm in the process of creating my own.
Well, then, yes, you can have other and people so the, touch
yeah,
those.
That, yeah, that kind of rehearsal deck, I'm happy to have folks try and use. Yeah. But very rarely do I have anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So this first card is what's going to help you in selling your course.
Okay.
It's the Wheel of Fortune.
Well, the wheel goes up and down. How are we going to do that? The beautiful cards. Yeah.
They are beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I do apologize. The light went out.
But I see that it's upside down. You read reversals.
I do read reversals. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people like to read reversals as perhaps like the negative interpretation if they read a reversal.
Mm.
But I disagree with that because I believe that every card holds the full spectrum of that, of the qualities. I like to read inversions as the internal experience or interpretation.
Okay,
versus the external.
So what was the first card? What was the meaning again?
This is what will help you.
Okay, so what's going to help me?
So I think what's going to help you is your ability to ride the ups and downs, to ride the waves of life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Wheel of Fortune is all about the fact that like you can be on top one day and stuck under the wheel the next, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we have this show up for us, it's remembering that everything is cyclical. Everything comes back around.
Mm-hmm.
We're always trying to find our balance no matter where we are on the wheel.
As a client, I'm sitting here while you're talking. I said, that's right. I must get my hands dirty with the marketing process. That's going to help me.
Because, there you go.
Okay, so let's go on to the next card.
Okay, great.
So I'm sure it goes longer. I cut you off.
Yes. But, we would spend some time. Well,
of course.
It's a 30-minute
reading. 30-minute
reading,
we're
talking about three cards. Yeah. We're going to spend some time on each of these cards.
Right.
Yes. All right. So then we would say this is what's going to hinder you.
Okay, this is what's going to hinder me.
This is the Eight of Discs, the Eight of Pentacles.
Eight of Coins. And so you're going to have to tell me. What will hinder me?
Yeah. So I see this as, I always like to say that, the pip cards, the numbers are a cycle in themselves as well. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And so the eight is getting closer to the end of that cycle.
Right.
So you've done a lot of learning, you've done a lot of growing, you've done a lot of planting, of harvesting, right? Like all of that has been happening. And I think that this would say to me in this particular instance that what's going to hinder you is
doing
thinking
more work.
That the hard stuff's no, thinking that the work's done.
Ah.
Right?
Even because though it's innate.
Because we're coming off of this Wheel of Fortune.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? There's still two more cards to go.
Like, okay, so this will
still got one.
I get it. So if I don't get my
get to that
okay,
ten of
so I don't get my hands dirty with the marketing, that will hinder me. Okay, so I get the message. Let's go to the third card.
All right. And so this is your unrealized or your untapped potential. And
all right.
It's the nine of discs. Here Hang comes on. The Show literal us close, next card.
Show, there it is. So it's a reverse.
I'm trying to
nine of discs.
How,
beautiful card. Okay. Yeah.
And so
got
you
it.
See, she's got like, it's almost like a peacock with all of her feathers and things around her.
Right.
You know, and there's some beautiful flowers at the bottom. And again, this is inverted, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what I would say to you for that is.
What was the meaning of this one? I forgot.
The nine of pentacles.
No,
so
the third card.
What is your untapped, your unrealized potential?
Oh, okay.
And the pentacles being our physical, our material, our manifest, right? Because it's the earth sign of the four elements in our deck. To me, this is like everything you need, the nine, everything you need to get to 10 already exists within you because it's inverted, right? So this being upside down says to me, you hold everything you need inside of yourself already to have the success with this, but you have to do the hard work.
Right, doing the hard work.
And ride the waves
the
whole time. You have to be willing to ride all the waves.
Okay, so I get that. Now that means I have a homework to do. I know what I have to do to get that going. Now this is interesting because it does take a person away from fortune telling.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I'm
so this is interesting. Yeah, so it's has gives them the onus of responsibility.
Well, that's the thing. You have to take agency for your own life,
you have
right?
To take
I can't
agency.
Do it for you.
Right.
I can't do it for you. And if you asking me to do it for you is actually you giving away your power.
Right.
And why would you want to give away your power?
Right.
You
right.
hold so much within yourself. Literally everything you need is already there.
Yeah.
The cards
this reminds me of an example just happened yesterday. And the poor, she said to me, you know, please, I don't even know. Tell me if I love him. And I thought, and I did actually say, well, if you're asking me that, I think the answer is really clear. You know, I'm not sure if the woman understood me, but that's it's a lack of taking agency for their own.
There was a woman last night. I was at an event in Brooklyn reading tarot. And this woman sat down and she, you know, the two largest questions are always love and career, right?
Yeah. Money and love.
Everybody
yeah.
wants to know yeah. about money and
but,
love.
Oh, no, wait a minute. That has up until COVID. When will I get married? When now, what is my soul's purpose? That is the number one question that people come to me with.
That's a big question. I think a lot of the people in my circles have been asking themselves those questions for a really long time, even pre-pandemic. So I find that I think that comes across for me a little less often.
So last night, what happened at this event?
But she was telling me that, you know, she thought it was about career, but it might have been about her relationship. And she had just gotten married last year. And like, we'll see what the cards say.
Mm.
And her friend had gone earlier and it's something her she had gotten justice.
But what was the spread that you used for her?
We were doing this one, what will help you, what will hinder you, and what's your untapped potential. And her friend had done that one as well. And her friend, you know, who was a Libra and there was a lot about balance in her chart. Mm-hmm. She had like, you know, the Four of Pentacles for some, in the deck I was using, that's a very balance-based card.
Mm-hmm.
There were, you know, some other things that her friends was like about like, you know, go and live your life. And she was so upset because hers was like, you have to ask yourself some really serious questions.
That was
basically what the card said to her. Like, you have some really tough questions to ask yourself.
I lost your voice a little bit. You're far away.
Am I?
Yeah. Now it's a little better. Okay.
The microphone might have been.
I find that they're so personal. The readings are so personal. Yeah. To do them in a group or at a party, it becomes a little difficult. And then people understand.
One of the women sat, before they sat down, three of them wanted to do it together, my first group of the evening. And watch each other's readings.
They said,
does it change the reading? And I said, well, it's totally up to you. But when a particle is observed, it changes.
Yeah.
Inevitably, inherently. Simply the act of observing changes that particle.
When you say particle, let's use different words to make it a little clearer.
Sure. Literally anything.
So when you sneeze,
we're all
in
made
Rome,
of subatomic particles.
Right. Okay. So in
right?
China,
everything
there's,
is energy. Right, everything is subatomic particles. Mm-hmm. So there have been scientific experiments done where a scientist has watched the experiment happen.
Of course.
Then they've done the same thing where the experiment has gone unobserved and they've gotten different results.
Yeah, that's called the researcher's paradox. It's, you know, the observer's paradox in an academic world.
Right.
Yeah.
And so with those women last night, I said, you're welcome. It's up to you, first of all.
Right.
I'm not going to decide for you if your friends can watch your reading or not. That's on you, right?
Yeah, come closer.
This is your reading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
So. But I mean, you know, it's is it all that different from doing a reading on a podcast or, you know, doing a reading?
You know, let's put it this way. When I have a YouTube channel, right? And until probably January, I did readings publicly in different ways. I did monthlies, bi-monthlies, and what I will always have is the end of the year, the forecast for the future. In December, I put out one for every, and that will remain. I've moved away from doing them online. I just started the weeklies with all the signs because I find that it's not productive because of the way people receive it. They keep forgetting. This is a general reading. You know, this is a general reading. How could I do general readings for no one? And that is why I'm tending to stop in public.
Yeah,
because it doesn't say anything. It doesn't mean anything. I do in Instagram. We'll go live when I have some time. And it's I'll use one card if people ask me questions. And it's entertainment, really.
Yeah.
It's a form of entertainment. And I like to do it live. It's a different thing if you pre-record because it's static. There's no interaction, like you say. And it's just not worth anything, you know, really.
Yeah.
And the best, I used to meet clients in New York City at all different places, in different cafes and read. And it was just so fun, you know, it was just so much fun. It's just different in person, you know, go to someone's house.
It really is.
Yeah. And it's nice. It's nice. And you learn so much. So beyond the tarot, what is something else that gives you real pleasure today, work-wise?
Oh, I still really love being part of the Broadway community.
Ah, tell us.
And I really, really enjoy it. And definitely pre-pandemic, I've been involved in social justice within the Broadway community. But after George Floyd was murdered, my perceptions of social justice in our industry really shifted quite a bit. And I have done a lot of work in just bringing social justice to the fore of the work that I do and the clients that I work with in my PR consulting, communications consulting, storytelling, strategy, life. So, so that's been really, really, really beautiful to see some folks.
All of that included in your website, in the
everything's on
EmilyMcGillEntertainment.com, the tarot, and
there's a work with Emily tab, and you can see about the tarot
work.
You can see about the storytelling,
perfect,
the pro bono PR.
Perfect.
I'm also part of a PR collective, and we've got an online course teaching people how to create their own PR businesses.
Good.
You know, we know the future of work is freelance, and people like working for themselves and flexibility. So we're working to help people get that for their own lives. So all of that is all on the website right there.
Oh, great, great. And I'll direct people through my description underneath the episode.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming and being amenable to
Claudia.
This game that we were playing with the tarot. Thanks a lot. I hope our paths cross again.
Yes.
Bye-bye, Emily.